Well, kiddos, y'all want a story? All right. Look at you guys. Oh, I like those shoes, Dom. What size are those?
4.
Oh, they won't fit me. Shucks. They make them taller. How are you guys doing?
Good, but tired.
Good.
Tired? I'm tired too.
I'm not tired.
I'm ready for lunch.
You're ready for lunch? Well, you just be thank God you're not sitting where Mr. Eddie's sitting, because it smells good over there. And that'd be awfully distracting, wouldn't it? Oh, Janessa's over there. I bet she smells it. Whew. Y'all like Thanksgiving food?
Yes.
Good.
Yeah. Everything but corn.
Everything but corn.
I
yeah, I can smell it too.
I can smell some food from the kitchen.
Yeah. Well, y'all ready for a story?
Yeah.
I've got a new friend to introduce to you. This guy, his name is Otter B. Yes, Dom.
When is the bear going to come back?
When is what?
The bear.
Well, I don't know. Whenever I have a sermon that aligns with one of his stories. So Otter B, thankful. All right, so let's see what Otter B's up to today. You've read this book. All right. Vroom, 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 roared Franklin as he raced his toy car around the track. Look out, yelled Otter B. He zoomed his car up a ramp and into the air. Whoosh. Lunchtime, called Franklin's mama. She served them hot dog cars with grapes for wheels and celery stick spoilers. Y'all know what a spoiler is?
No.
Well, ask your parents when you leave here today if your car is a spoiler.
The back of the car.
And if it does, it's a race car, okay? So ask them to race somebody later. Yeah. Oh, I can't, said Franklin. Oh, yum, said Otter B. I can't wait to play some more after lunch. Oh, I can't, said Franklin. My grandpa is taking me to the race car museum to see some real cars. Back home with Mama, Otter B dragged his tail. I wish I could go to the race car museum like Franklin, he said. That sounds like fun, said Mama. Why don't we read your race car book this afternoon? Nah, said Otter B. He didn't want to read about race cars. He wanted to see some real ones. That afternoon, Tabitha came over. Hey, Otter B, I have a brand new super speedy scooter. It goes really fast and it has sparkly wheels. Otter B looked at Tabitha's new scooter. Then he looked at his. His was not sparkly and it had some dents in it. They raced their scooters around the block, but Tabitha went way faster than Otter B. That night at dinner, when Daddy said the blessing, Otter B couldn't think of anything to be thankful for. He kept thinking about not going to the race car museum and not having a super speedy scooter. The next morning, Otter B asked, Mama, can we go to the race car museum today? No, Otter B, maybe another day. Well, will you buy me a new scooter? You could ask for a new scooter for your birthday, Mama suggested. My birthday is months away, wailed Otter B. I never get anything new. And we never go anywhere fun. Otter B stomped to his room. He then built a tower with his blocks just so he could knock it down. Otter B, Mama called. Felicia and Roscoe are here. Otter B went outside. Felicia and Roscoe each had a jar. Felicia and I are making gratitude jars, said Roscoe. Want to make one too? Otter B frowned. What's a gratitude jar? You get a jar and put in pieces of paper with pictures of what you're thankful for, said Felicia. I already put in that I'm thankful for my dress-up clothes. Yeah, and I'm thankful for snacks, said Roscoe. Who's thankful for snacks? I love snacks. Otter B asked Mama for a jar, and the three friends started off. Look, called Felicia, apples. They each drew a picture of an apple on a slip of paper, then put their pictures in their jar. Something zipped past Otter B's nose. A hummingbird, he said. Let's put that picture in our jar. Then they spotted a rainbow, a fuzzy caterpillar, a huge pumpkin, and birds splashing in a bird bath. When Felicia's grandma gave them each a cookie, they put pictures of cookies in their jar, too. Hey, Mama, yelled Otter B when he got back home. Come see my gratitude jar. Otter B dumped out the slips of paper and told Mama why he was thankful for each one. When he finished, Mama smiled. You sure seem happier, she said. Yeah, said Otter B. Once we started finding all that stuff to be thankful for, I didn't feel so sad about the museum and the new scooter. And, he added with a grin, I just thought of one more thing to put in my jar. Otter B drew a picture of Mama and gave her a big hug. I'm really thankful that you are my mama. Mama laughed. I'm thankful for you too, she said, kissing the top of his head and tickling his nose. When you're sad because you can't get the things you want or see, try giving thanks for what you have. It's how you ought to be. In our verse, which is the same as our verse this morning, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, give thanks no matter what happens. God wants you to thank him because you believe in Christ Jesus. Did Otter B learn a good lesson?
Yeah.
Right? Sometimes we can't do some of the things we want to do, but that's why we have joy in the things we do have or the things we do get to do, right? Well, we may have some more stories from Otter B in the future. I like this guy. He's pretty cool, right? He's cute. Look how adorable he is. The bear's cute too? Yeah. Okay. Well, I got a little gift for you guys. These are, you each get a little bandana. This says, sharing God's joy. It's empty.
What?
The basket's to hold my bandanas, right? All right. Those are pretty. Nice and fally. All right, you guys can have a seat.
I got this water bag.
Nope, not a bag. All right. So Thanksgiving's just a few weeks away, roughly. And Thanksgiving's a special time, right? You get the turkey or the ham. Or if you're like us today, you get both, right? Who's thankful for having both turkey and ham? I love both. Then, of course, there's stuffing, mashed potatoes, and green bean casserole. Am I missing anything? What's your favorite Thanksgiving?
Yams.
Yams?
Pies.
The pies. Yeah, I want to think of the pies, of course. I heard that. So there's so many things in this Thanksgiving meal that we get so excited for, right? But Thanksgiving is more than just about the food, right? It's a time to give thanks. And this morning we're going to look at that. We're going to look at thankful, creating a lifestyle of gratitude. And we're going to do something a little different this morning. We're going to start by watching a short little video. So, Barth, I'll let you start that.
Today, we are thankful. We give thanks to God for His love, His mercy, and His faithfulness. We give thanks for family and friends, life and laughter, and the little things which bring joy to our lives. We give thanks for our circumstances, even when they're difficult. For we know the hand of God guides us through it all. But what if we remembered thankfulness every day? What if we lived in a constant state of gratitude? Would our lives be different? Would our faith be strengthened? Would the things of God permeate every aspect of our lives? The Bible tells us to give thanks in everything. What would life look like if we actually lived that out? Today, we are reminded of all we have to be thankful for. May that gratitude move our hearts and cause us to make every day Thanksgiving.
So, it's about the little things, right? We find joy and we can have thankfulness in a life of gratitude because of the little things. And even when things are going rough in our lives, we can still find those little things that we can lean on to get us through. Because we all go through seasons of life, right? We all go through ups and downs, highs and lows. And some seasons are good, and other seasons aren't so good, right? But did you know that we, church, that we get to decide how we react to any season, anything going on in our life? You see how we react, it truly makes a difference. And as we face the challenges that life can bring our way, we need to make a choice about how we're going to react to those challenges. Because if we leave it up to making that choice in the moment, guess what? We're probably going to make the wrong choice. We're probably going to react in the wrong way. But if we prepare ourselves to make the right choice at the right time, we'll be better off. See, if we're able to keep hope and experience gratitude, it's hard to move forward with being thankful. It's hard not to move forward with being thankful for all situations, okay? I want to share a story. It's a true story, because not all my stories I share up here are true. But this guy, his name's Anthony Ray Hinton, and he spent 30 years on death row for a crime that he did not commit, okay? He was working in a locked factory, at the time when the crime of which he was accused took place. And his time in jail was spent in solitary confinement. And a 5x7 foot cell allowed out only once an hour a day. Okay? But Hinton quickly became friends with a counselor, per se, to the other inmates. And even to the death row guards. And many of whom begged Hinton's attorney to get him out. And a unanimous Supreme Court ruling ordered his release, and he was able to walk free. Praise the Lord. Well, in an interview, he is quoted by saying this. He said, "One does not know the value of freedom until it is taken away. People run out of the rain. I run into the rain. I'm so grateful for every drop just to feel it on my face." Right? You don't realize how much you miss something or how much you don't appreciate something until it's taken away. Just the act of rain hitting you, which many of us would not like, right? I don't like to be rained on. I want to watch it all day. But when you don't even have the opportunity for it to happen. You see, Hinton was later interviewed on 60 Minutes. And the interview asked him if he was angry with the people who put him in jail. And he said, "No, I've forgiven them all." And the interviewer said this, "Well, they took 30 years of your life. How can you not be angry?" And Hinton responded by saying this, "If I'm angry and unforgiving, they will have taken the rest of my life." What truth is in that, church? How much of your life have you spent angry or unforgiving for far less suffering than Hinton has? For circumstances out of anyone's control, you just get so angry. See, unfortunately, many spend part of their life angry or unforgiving of themselves. See, Mr. Hinton is a strong example of the ability to respond with joy and gratitude despite the horrendous circumstances that came his way. Right? He's quoted in another interview. I didn't put this one on there. It was a little too long. But he said, "The world didn't give you your joy, and the world can't take it away. You can let people come into your life and destroy it, but I refuse to let anyone take my joy. I wake up in the morning and I don't need anyone to make me laugh. I'm going to laugh on my own because I have been blessed to see another day. And when you're blessed to see another day, that should automatically give you joy. You see, there's something about being grateful for every day that we have, right? And as we begin this morning with gratitude, and we practice a lifestyle that transforms us, it changes our view of life and also changes our view of our faith and our relationship with others and with God, okay? It helps us, church, to be thankful, right? It helps us to be thankful. So, my question for you this morning is, how do you create a lifestyle of gratitude? Well, how do you do that? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. And the first way is that we must find gratitude in all circumstances. So if you would record your day, your whole day, one whole day, how many times would you be able to find gratitude or little blessings throughout your day? If you recorded every single detail, how many would you add up at the end of the day? If you had to think about it. Well, the kids got a story, and I got a story for you as well, although I don't have any pictures for you, so sorry. This story is called A Thousand Little Blessings, so I'm going to read it to you. So, this starts off by saying, the alarm blares, and I groan. Monday again? Why does the weekend always go by so fast? Ugh. My head hurts, probably from staring at my phone too long last night. I should really stop doing that. Wait, what was that? Oh, just the neighbor's dog barking. Annoying, but kind of cute, actually. Reminds me of the puppy we had when I was a kid. He always woke us up like this. Funny how a sound can bring back memories. That's nice, I guess. One little blessing. Okay, feet on the floor. Cold. No, wait. Cool. Refreshing even. Wakes me up a bit. Blessing number two. Shuffle to the bathroom. Toothpaste. Minty. Clean. My teeth feel smooth. When did I start noticing how nice that feels? Blessing number three. Coffee maker. Gargles. Oh, that smell. Oh, man, that smell. It's like a hug for my brain. Blessing number four. Look out the window while it brews. Sky's all pink and orange. Gorgeous. How many sunrises have I missed by not looking up? Too many. Blessing number five. Sip of coffee. Hot. Rich. Perfect. Blessing number six. Phone buzzes. Text from mom. Have a great day. Warmth spreads through my chest. Blessing number seven. Shower time. Water pressure is good today. Streams beat against my back, washing away the last bit of sleepiness. Blessing number eight. Closet. Oh, my favorite shirt is clean. Oh, it's so soft against my skin. Blessing number nine. Keys jingling in my hand. The car started the first time today. Blessing number 10. Traffic lights. Green lights all the way to work. Blessing number 11. Amen. Parking spot right near the door. Blessing number 12. At my desk, my plants are thriving. Didn't I just get these? Look at them go. I'm doing a great job with these. Blessing number 13. Email from the boss. Great job on the Johnson account. My pride swells within me. Blessing number 14. Lunch break. Sandwich is perfect. Did I make this? Go me. Blessing number 15. Back to work. productive afternoon. Ideas are flowing. Blessing number 16. Drive home time. Traffic was light. Blessing number 17. Home. Comfy clothes. A deep breath. Blessing number 18. Dinner. Simple pasta, but it sure did hit the spot. Blessing number 19. Bedtime. Soft sheets. A cool pillow. Tired, but in a good way. Blessing number 20. And as sleep comes, the author says, I realize that I've only scratched the surface. There are so many more. 1,000 little blessings at least. Maybe more tomorrow. Maybe I just need to keep noticing. All of these little blessings, they were simple, right? Simple little blessings. And you see, no matter what you're doing, where you're going, you need to recognize and appreciate the small, everyday blessings that surround you. And if we just stop and observe, we'll see so many things for which to be thankful with. But we must open our eyes and make a conscious decision, church, to look for those things, okay? See, by cultivating awareness of these blessings, we fulfill the words of Paul. And we're going to look at that. So I do have it on the screen, but if you want to turn there, we're going to be 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning. So 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says this. Always rejoice, constantly pray. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You see, church, when we become aware of our everyday blessings, we can transform our perspective and we can find contentment in the simplest moments of our life. You see, Paul says here, in everything, give thanks. It wasn't just an idea. But it was all about spiritual discipline. It wasn't just a suggestion. It was something you need to put this into practice, right? You see, gratitude as a lifestyle means cultivating a heart that looks for reasons to be thankful. We look for reasons to be thankful in the mundane things, in the everyday things. We look for a reason to be thankful in the good times. And we look for reasons to be thankful in the bad times, when things aren't going our way. It's not about ignoring hardships, but seeing God's faithfulness in the midst of everyday life, okay? You see, when we stop and live a life of gratitude, being thankful in each moment, we begin to see God working in our lives. We begin to see God moving in each and every moment of our life. And we really, truly can become thankful for the ways that God really works in our lives and every day. And through that, guess what? Our faith will grow. And our trust in Him will grow. In fact, our relationship with God and our Savior, it will grow. It will become stronger. We see Him working in our lives each moment of every day, okay? So take time to reflect on each moment and ask, how did I see God at work today? Think about that today. When you go home, think about it. In fact, before you go to bed, write down at the end of the day, write it down, make a list of the things for which you are thankful for. And when you spend your time in prayer before you go to sleep, spend some time being thankful to God and bringing those praises to Him, right? You see, that's how we can create a lifestyle of gratitude. And next, this morning, there is a joy-gratitude connection, okay? Guess what? These two, they're connected. Joy and gratitude. On the heels of the election, I thought the words of author Brennan Manning said once in an interview was appropriate. He said this, it's on the screen for you as well. He said, I believe that the real difference in the American church is not between conservatives and liberals, fundamentalists and charismatics, nor between Republicans and Democrats. The real difference is between the aware and the unaware. When somebody is aware of that love, the same love that the Father has for Jesus, that person is just spontaneously grateful. Cries of thankfulness become the dominant characteristic of the interior life, and the byproduct of gratitude is joy. We're not joyful and then become grateful. We're grateful, and that makes us joyful. You see, there's a story about a young salesman who he lands this job selling a new windows door to door. Okay, intimidating job. Anytime you sell anything door to door, it's pretty intimidating. On his first day on the job, he comes to this lady across the street from him, and it's a sweet old lady, and she agrees to purchase a beautiful new window for her living room. Okay. And a few days after the job was complete, the salesman gets a call and from the lady informing him that she's not happy with the view from her new window. So wanting to make a good impression at his new job, the young salesman works with the lady and replaces the window with the larger one at no additional cost to her. Well, a few days later pass. And once again, he gets a call from the lady saying that she's still not happy with the view from her window. So once again, the salesman doubles the size of the window at no additional cost. And as he predicted, a few days pass, and the lady calls him again, letting him know that she is not happy with the view from her new window. So the young salesman explains to the woman that he just installed the newest, the most efficient, the largest window that the company sells, and ask her what is the problem with the view out of her window. Well, the lady responds that every time she looks out that large new window, all she can still see is the ugly oak tree in her front yard. See, this lady's problem wasn't with the window. It's what she was seeing from the window, right? The view, because she was not grateful for the view, she was not able to be grateful for the window. In fact, the window was making it harder for her to be grateful because she was able to see more and more of that ugly oak tree. You see, church, when we are not grateful for the things that we have, we're not going to find true joy. See, Paul made this connection between joy and gratitude in Philippians 4:4-7. You can turn there if you want, but I have it on the screen. He said this. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let everyone see your gentleness. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. Instead, in every situation, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, tell your request to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. Right? Paul is speaking on this. He's showing us that gratitude and joy, they're intimately linked. Right? One does not come without the other. And when we focus on God's blessing, joy will just naturally flow. When we choose gratitude to give thanks for our blessings, no matter how great or small, we are shifting our focus from what we lack to instead we're shifting it to what God has given us, right? When we focus on what God has given, we find ourselves overflowing with joy. Church, there's so many blessings all around us. There are. How can we not be filled with joy for all that God has done for us? And when we realize the joy we have because of the ways God is providing for us, the ways that He's cared for us and loved us, we find the strength to go through the difficult and tough times of life. Because tough times of life are going to come. And better to be prepared for those times than just let them come and not be prepared, right? Ezra said in Nehemiah 8:10 this, he said, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength," right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, when we feel that joy and strength, we find peace. Peace that transcends our worries, our concerns, our stresses. It's like the story I opened with about Anthony Hinton. He chose to be grateful because each day he was granted another day. Right? He had his life taken away from him, and it made him so appreciative of life. Every single day was a blessing. He was able to find something for which to be grateful for each and every single day. In that gratitude, he found a joy that he said the world could never take away, right? By being grateful, we can find true joy. We have to start each day by listening, by listing things that we are grateful for. Start small, list one thing each day, then two things, then three things, right? Find those things that you're grateful for. By doing this, we will be on our way to cultivating a habit of joy-filled gratitude. And lastly, this morning, we should view gratitude as a form of worship and witness. Okay? There's an article, it's called "Gratitude Helps Others See Jesus." And Mary Beth Eberhard draws attention to how the act of expressing gratitude can serve as a powerful reflection of God's love and grace to the world around us, okay? And I wanted to share some of these because they fit so well. So she points out a few things. And the first one is this. She explains how gratitude is a witness, okay? See, gratitude is not just a personal response to God's blessing, but also a way to witness to others about God's goodness. You see, when we express thankfulness in both good times and difficult moments, we make the invisible God visible to those around us. This is especially true in challenging times where a grateful heart can stand as a testimony of faith, pointing others towards Jesus. Right? Her second point is this. She also encourages us to see Jesus in everyday moments, okay? She shares personal stories where she noticed God's hand at work in ordinary situations. She reminds us that practicing gratitude, it helps us recognize God's presence in the everyday, even in the midst of hardships and suffering. It is in these moments of thankfulness that others can see the light of Christ shining from us, right? Thirdly, Mary Beth helps us to understand how gratitude transforms pain into praise, okay? See, gratitude, it doesn't diminish pain, but it shifts our perspective, allowing us to find reasons to praise God, even when life is hard. This shifting can serve as a powerful witness to others of God's sustaining grace. And lastly, she shows how gratitude can have an impact on others. Okay? See, Mary Beth emphasizes how gratitude, it's contagious. When we model gratefulness, we inspire others to do the same. In other words, in a world often focused on negativity or self-centeredness, choosing to be grateful, church, for God's blessings, no matter how small, serves as a reminder that Jesus is at work in our lives. Imagine with me for a moment a calm lake, okay? It's nice and calm. Nothing's going on. Then you take a rock and you throw the rock into the lake, a small stone into the in the water. And at first there's only a small ripple, right? But as the ripples spread, what do? They get bigger, okay? They reach every corner of the water, gradually making their way outward. You see, in the same way, the expression of gratitude, no matter how small, it can create ripples that reach out to others, drawing them closer to Jesus. The act of gratitude is like the first small stone thrown into the water. And it starts with us just simply a simple thank you for God's goodness, even in the face of difficulty, and it spreads outwards. Okay? See, those who witness our grateful hearts, especially in the midst of hardship, they begin to see Jesus in a new light. And they recognize that the source of our joy and thanksgiving is not from our circumstances, but from a deep trust and faith in the goodness of God. Our gratitude, it becomes a living testimony that God is present, right? He's active and he's worthy of worship in all seasons of life. And through this act of grace, others are invited to experience the peace and joy that comes from knowing Jesus just as we know him, right? We let that joy spread. In a world that often focuses on what is lacking, church, our gratitude can shine a light on all that we have received, encouraging others to see the presence of Christ in our own lives. You see, this is the very heart of the words of the psalmist in Psalms 100 that Janessa read this morning, right? I'm going to read it again for us. It says, "Shout out praises to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with joy. Enter his presence with joyful singing. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give him thanks. Praise his name, for the Lord is good. His loyal love endures and he is faithful through all generations." You see, gratitude isn't just personal. It's also an expression of our worship, church, that honors God and it becomes a testimony of our lives. And when we live gratefully, we can acknowledge God as the source of every good thing that we have, right? We acknowledge him. And having this mindset doesn't just honor God, but it encourages others to see his goodness too and to worship him. So let us daily express gratitude in a way that others can see. Right? Because they can't see inside your heart, but they can see how you act and how you live your life, right? When others can see, they too can praise our Heavenly Father, for he is good. And his mercy is everlasting. His truth endures to all generations. And as Margaret comes up this morning, I want you to think about, we're celebrating Thanksgiving a little early today, right? But this gives you an opportunity to put into practice for a week and a half, per se, of being grateful every day. Having gratitude being a part of your life. And my goal is that we consider that with this gratitude that we feel during Thanksgiving, it will just become more and more of our daily part of life. And we will have a gratitude all throughout the year. See, gratitude needs to be at the heart of the way that we live each and every single day. Gratitude needs to be a lifestyle, church. It needs to be a lifestyle. When gratitude is our way of life, we invite God's joy and peace into our lives, transforming both our hearts and our perspectives. May those thoughts of gratitude help you through your day. Maybe thinking and finding those little things, those little blessings, will be enough to help you through some of the harder times in life, right? We're not going to close with the song this morning. I'm going to pray. I'll pray for our meal. And then I do encourage you to stay. Join us for a time of fellowship. But we're going to go to the Lord in prayer now. So let's pray together. Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, Lord. Lord, we want to have a heart of gratitude, and help us to see that we should be thankful for you and what you did on the cross for us, Lord. Help us to let that be part of who we are, Lord, and let that part of our lives shine through us and be an example to others that we come in contact with, Father God. Help it to be contagious in a way that others just want to know what is going on. Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Help that to be a light to those that don't know you, God. Help that to be a light to those that are struggling in a time of grief or pain, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this time. Lord, we lift up this meal we're going to receive together, Father. I pray that it will nourish our bodies. Be with our time of fellowship, Father God, with one another. I pray that you have your hand on us. We thank you for all that you do, God. We ask as we get closer and closer to Thanksgiving that we will have a heart of gratitude, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen.